Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Well, I can't find my postcard. I found it. Here you go, brains. We are on the edge, right here. This is the place. I tell you all the time, the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never done. Today, we have Maureen Xavier, and we are going to talk about just some real cool stuff. Real relaxed conversation, easy flowing. You know, it gets heavy sometimes when people are talking about mindset or talking about transformation and all that. They just make it seem like a lot of heavy lifting. It's really not that difficult. If you understand divine guidance, if you have confidence, what are your challenges? Are you a good speaker? Do you know how to communicate and orate really what's on your mind and what you want to deliver to other people? Do you want to draw in new clients? And do you have a block on your money? Is it mental? Is it spiritual? Is it energy? What is it that is blocking you from having abundance? We're going to talk about all that and more with Maureen. Welcome to On the Edge, baby. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great. I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you.
I'm grateful to have you. That's why I topped it off. I said, Maureen's coming, girl. I'm going to dress up.
And you look fabulous.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Tell us a little bit about how you show up in the world.
Wow. What a great question. I show up in the world? I'm a work in progress. This is my reality is an ongoing work in progress. My intention, my stand, the stand I've consciously lived in for 10 years and for 15 years before that was to be happy, to be the love that I am, to be and express my uniqueness and to support others to reconnect to who they are. Really are, not what we think we are, not all the background noise. I am an ongoing evolution of the love that I am. That's how I show up in the world.
Well, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. When you say reconnect and show up and help others, what does that do for you? How does that recharge your battery to assist others? Because it's got to be an ROI. I mean, you know, people just don't do it because they're cute. They do it because, you know, power, influence, control. Sometimes they do it for self-esteem. What is your why?
My why is the journey that I've been on. I grew up in an alcoholic family. I actually put vodka in my orange juice in third grade because my mother and father drank, and I thought that would make me feel better. I went to a Catholic school.
Ah, so now I understand the conversation we had in the green room. I get it because, you know, alcohol it can be a beast. It can be a beast.
Yeah.
Substance abuse can be a beast.
So I've literally spent my entire life being in recovery at some level of the programming I brought with me from a prior life, programming I picked up from my family, programming my mother had as she was carrying me in utero. I agreed with God to live a purpose for on the earth. So I've been in the ongoing, and I forgot your question. I apologize. I forgot your question.
Oh no. What is your why? Why are you, why are you doing what you're doing?
So in my own journey, in my own path, I've gained a lot of experience being on the chair of psychiatrists, being in therapists, being in a family, having a daughter that wanted to commit suicide at the age of 12 years old, joining adult children of alcoholics when my father passed away. And I've gained a lot of experience, a lot of understanding. I know a lot about trauma.
Okay.
And so in my journey, I feel like
I'm with you. I feel you.
I feel like I literally came to pay forward what I've learned.
You know, and again, I always say, to whom much is given, much is required. And it was given to you because you were strong enough to carry the load, you know? And those tears are nothing but an extension of the love that you, and the sacrifice, because it's been a sacrifice.
Well, that's what I stand for, though. It doesn't have to be a sacrifice. That's the thing. That's the reality. I've been living that it was a sacrifice. I thought it had to be a sacrifice. I thought it had to be hard. I thought I had to have all those things. And what I was introduced to by a teacher 10 years ago is that it doesn't have to be hard. It can be flowing. The stuff that I live in as life is something that's made up at some level, and that there's a path and a possibility to go from all the muck, all the depression, all the anxiety, all the work hard, you know, not be enough, beat yourself up because you're not growing your business fast enough, to flow, to ease, to joy, to possibility, that that's what life can be. So I literally, I've lived on both ends of the bridge, and I'm still on the part of the side of the bridge that has complete faith in possibility, complete faith in hope, complete faith in following my joy. And I'm a human being, and it's one step at a time. You know, it's, my life is easier than it was a year ago, but it's not as easy as it could be.
And sometimes it's not one step at a time. Sometimes you're tap dancing because we're doing more. We're multitasking. We're doing more than one thing at once. You're being the mother. You're being the wife. You're being the self. You're being the God. You're being. You know, feel like you're in a doggone pinball machine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you also have a gift of channeling. Tell us about that, because that's another heavy load.
That, I went through a radical spiritual awakening. I went through a period of my life where I was actually suicidal because I had one foot on the dock, holding on tight to ego, holding on tight to safety, holding on tight to accounting, because it was the way to make money that I knew how to do. And the other foot on the boat of freedom, joy, possibility, soul's path. And there was a, when I had gone back to accounting in order to make money, because I wanted to help support our family when my children went away. And little by little, it was killing me. I wasn't fulfilling my soul's purpose. So it was literally, I was hopeless. And I became suicidal for about 3 month period, lots of ideations. And then there was, and then I made a choice. I made two new choices that I was done with that. I knew there was something beyond what I thought was possible. And I said, okay, I turned it. What they say, let go, let God. I turned my life completely, more completely over to God. And I said, okay, I'm ready to do your work. And I attracted a spiritual community, and I made choices to follow my joy. And I was introduced to channeling. And channeling, for those of you who may not know, is basically, it's divine guidance speaking through me. So I have a team of divine guides, Mother Mary being the divine feminine, Melchizedek being the divine masculine, that they work through me. And first of all, it was to support me. So when I started channeling, they sped my process along. Mm-hmm. And then after I was sturdy, it's like, how can I be in service to others? So I do this now because I know the power and the possibility of their guidance, and how fast and easy then transformation can be when they point you to the right thing. Right. You don't have to sit on a couch for 5 years and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh my God, there's that point in my childhood where I made that decision and I can make a new decision. So that's what it's been. I started 5 years ago. It was 5 years ago this weekend, actually, that I started channeling.
Well, congratulations. You know, I had a woman that was on my show. She's coming back too. That channels Mozart.
Ooh.
I know. And she goes into this trance-like state. She told me that he likes me, so that made me feel good. But she goes in, her voice changes, all of that. Tell me, what is your experience? Because it's different for everyone. What is your experience like channeling? And then who is the right person for you to work with in this environment?
Channeling, my voice changes too. So the tenor of my voice does change. I don't completely change, but it's a conscious stepping back, allowing their presence and their energy to be forward. And sometimes it's like, literally, you can tell it's mother, or I announce, because I have so many people that work through me. I usually announce if it's someone specific, and then they have information, they have questions, they have ideas, and it's for people who are on a spiritual path consciously, who are committed to ease, love, vitality, joy, thriving in the world, who at some level are on the edge, right? You're talking about on the edge.
Brains on the edge, that's right. Because they are sharp, they're pointy, and they're edgy. But what do you say to the person that is in contrast, saying, oh, no, we don't do channeling in the ... faith. You know, this is satanic. This is this. This is the devil. Well, I don't believe you, because God talks to me all the time. I mean, I could be looking at my plants and get a message. I could be watering the yard. I could be petting my dog. God channels his energy, his voice, his spirit. So what do you say to the naysayers?
I honor them. I listen to them. I ask questions. I let people be wherever they are, because honestly, no, my intention is to support people to do exactly what you just said. We are all channels. We are all connection to the divine. That's who, you know, and that's the reality. And some people are open and curious and, you know, desiring more information than they have access to. So I honor people wherever they are. I bless them and am so grateful and love conversing with them and honor them.
You know, and then there's other people on the other side of that spectrum that try to whip you with it. You know, I know some people. It's called being blessed out. Oh, God bless you. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, they call the whole family Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. You know, they're being snarky. And you don't play with God. Brains, if you know like I know, I don't know. Me and Maureen have experienced it firsthand. That's not somebody that you play with. And that's not an energy that you play with. You don't take it lightly. You want to communicate it in a loving way. Like you said, I appreciate what you said. I meet people right where they are. That's how I am too. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to change you, especially, you know, grown folks, you know, but I will honor you. And if it's too heavy for me, I know how to move on. You know, it's about an editing and a filtering. What do your children think? Because you've been through a lot, a whole lot. And I'm sure that you share those experiences with them. How do you try to heed the warning signs that you can't dodge a bullet? I mean, you know, everybody's got to have their own life journey and their own experience. But what are you pouring into them mentally about life and trying to, you know, stay away from alcohol or you know, and even about your channeling, you know, what do they think about that?
Mixed reactions, because each of my children are in their, where they are on their journey. They are different people. They are at a different place in their soul's path. I would call my son. Well, my son is also a man in his 20s. I sense he's more of a young soul in certain ways. So he's not as open to it. And my daughter is more open to it. And with both of them, it has been a journey and a process of me to learn how to unconditionally love them exactly where they are. So it's been an invitation, do you want to hear this from me? And honoring them if they want to hear it from me or if they don't want to hear it from me. And then if I have a strong reaction to the mom, I don't want to hear anything you have to say, then I look back in myself and see why I'm being triggered by them not being open to it.
Wow. That's huge. That's huge. That is huge. Because that's not me. I'm going to sit you down. I told you so. And let me tell you another thing. Hold on, listen, because we had a conversation yesterday, me and my daughter. She's 33. She was in the car. And I was trying to warn her about something. And she's popping off and blah, 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 blah. And I had to tell her, wait a minute, you forget who you're talking to. Who are you in the car with? I'm your mother. And I'm going to tell you, and you're going to hear this. Now, what you do with the information is better. See, you're bigger than me because you'll back up. Not me. I'm going full throttle. Only because, I don't know, I just get so passionate about it. So that's something that I need to work on, too, is my level of passion for someone else's journey.
I don't know about that, though. You know, there's each moment is a moment of its own.
Okay.
If you were passionate about it, if you were moved to do it, I don't know what was happening for you at the time.
It was on and popping in the car yesterday, that's for sure.
There are certain moments that you be quiet and step back, and there are certain moments you share the information because you know it's meant to be shared, and each moment is its own moment. So, that's what I have to say. Each moment is its own moment.
And I'm not like that all the time. Sometimes, you know, there are times that I'll just dial back. I want to be a good listener. But when I know that the train is coming, I'm not going to push you on the track.
Well, there you go. So you are honoring support. You are honoring your guidance. You are honoring your wisdom. You were telling her what you knew she needed to hear, even though she may not want to hear it. That's going to happen.
But listen to what you said. I. The conversation was not about I, it was about you. And so what I was doing was I was inflicting so much. Now, and she probably already, I don't think she realized what I was telling her to the degree. But still, it was magnified to the point where it got heated and we went to bed and didn't say anything to this morning. And we hugged and kissed and said, I love you, because I told her I didn't like how she acted, and she said, well, I didn't like how you acted. So, I mean, I have to respect her as a grown woman. You know, I have to respect that too. I said, okay, but it is what it is. Let's talk about that, because we went back and forth. Let's talk about communication. You and I are both Toastmasters. High five to Toastmasters, okay? Because they are the best. They are an international nonprofit organization that teaches you how to present, how to speak, parliamentary procedure. What else do they teach you?
Leadership. Team building. There's like eight or 10 different pathways you can do. You can use it to grow as a human being in a lot of different ways.
If you're a great storyteller, if you are an author, or you a person, doesn't just have to be a business speech. You know, it could be comedy. It could be drama. It is a phenomenal organization. I was the president of Toastmasters International, oh my God, years and years ago.
Wow.
Precision Sound, I had my own chapter and everything. I learned so much. You know, but Toastmasters is more than that. It's also camaraderie. Mm-hmm. It's also very diverse and multicultural. You have a lot of people that English is not their first language, but they want to be able to present. There are people that speak super fast. You know, they teaches you how to slow down. It teaches you how to pause. What are some of the great things that you've learned being a Toastmaster?
I have learned that you can't fail. Public speaking, there's a part of me that's terrified about public speaking. So it's given me a space to show up, to watch my patterns, like you said, to be in community of like-minded, like-hearted people. The community I belong to, two of them is Heart to Heart, which is for entrepreneurs, and another one is Leaders Worldwide. And so what it's taught me is that I'm enough, more to, there's a balance between structure, how to structure a speech and allow yourself to say what wants to be said, that it's okay to say yes, and it's okay to say no, because I've been invited to be part of the leadership team, and it wasn't right now. In the past, I used to be compelled to say yes, because, you know, got to be part of the team, got to play the party line. Because Leaders Worldwide has people from like 38 different countries, it's introduced me to a lot of different cultures. And knowing more about people and
absolutely,
and learning more of, grounding practices. I've learned amazing grounding practices and what's important for, you know, tuning into your heart for being a speaker. And that there's so much there I haven't even tapped into. I consider myself a novice along the train. You know, there's people though that have been there for 25 years.
Oh, I know. They never give it up.
And it literally can be that way. There's so much opportunity at there is a space for you, whatever level you are. You can be brand new.
And whatever age. I had people in my group that were 10 years old and they were beast. I mean, they were some of the best orators in the group. You know, and speaking, you know, I toss this in. Everybody wants to be on stage. You know, it's more than a notion, brains. Okay. You want to be up there because, again, you want to command the respect of an audience. You feel that you have something to say. You want to deliver. You're poised. You're confident. Sometimes it's ego. Ego is not a bad word. Your ego can be your friend if you know how to manage it. But speaking is not what it used to be. You know, it used to be when I was speaking, oh, I could get $5,000 per diem, travel, sell my books or services from the back of the room. It's changed considerably now. Mm-hmm. Now they want you to pay to be on the stage with these big name motivational speakers. They want a percentage of what you're selling from the back of the room because they're filling the room. So, you know, don't get so caught up on wanting to be in front of an audience. And again, with COVID, a lot of people are still very hesitant about congregating together at the 1-800 ballroom. But there are so many other ways to deliver your message. Again, you're delivering it through channeling, coaching. There is online presence. There's web presence. There are private groups. You can have small, intimate groups. You don't have to have 1,000 people to get your message across. You can have 10, and they can tell 10, and they can tell 10, and the number will multiply. But what's key is what you are delivering, what is your message, how it is going to impact and flow and encourage people. And that's a part of your divine guidance. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to add, what Toastmasters has given me the opportunity to do is to show up and learn, you know, to show up and do my best and notice how, you know, I focus more on the part that I have in the past focused more on the muddled stuff and the journey and not enough on the possibility that I'm leaving people with, how to leave them with actionable steps, how to leave them not on the edge of their seat, how to leave them transformed and open up. And unless I was showing up and practicing, I wouldn't realize that that's where I had been.
Right. And being open to the questions. So I talked about the money because, and what it is to be a professional speaker now, because we're talking about money blocks. Well, we're not talking Legos. We're not talking building blocks. We are talking about real stumbling blocks that people have with money. And I'm so sick of hearing it because money is an energy. It's just like any other piece of paper that is on my desk. And the reason why I say that is because there is the emotional attachment to that money. It is the value that you place on that money. If somebody told me it was a $20 bill and somebody told me it was a $2 bill and I didn't know any difference, it would be $2. It's about the value that you place on these things. They used to use feathers. They used to use beans. They traded people. You know, people sell their soul to the devil for money. What are some of the things that you find that people have when it comes to stumbling blocks around money?
One of the biggest things for women is their willingness to receive.
Girl, and ask, make the ask and close the deal. Okay, I got you on that. Why is that? Why are we like that as women? I'm not like that, but but why are women like that when it comes to money? What are they afraid of?
No, Grog, great question. Well, a lot of what I hear is being too much, being too big, being rejected, being abandoned. That, you know, if they show up in all of who they are and, you know, take up space, you know, being told they're selfish, they have to do it for other people. Hmm. When they showed up in their bigness, you know, when they were little, they got, you know, put down, there was, you know, their mother didn't like it, their dad didn't like it, or there just wasn't even space for it in their family. Hmm. Like their family was so muddled in their own stuff that there wasn't even space for them to be expansive. So they have all these, they literally, they're trained. No, you play small because that's the way you survive in the world.
Right. Yeah. Just, you know, stay under the wire. Like you said, just be quiet. Don't talk about it. And it's an education about money. That's what we need to do. We need to learn financial literacy. We need to learn. I learned at a very early age. I've had my own business, honestly, since I was 5 years old. And I had 5 years old, I sure did. I sold candy. And I made so much money that a friend of my family, he was impressed. He said, if you can sell these plants that I have at the swap meet, like you sell that candy, you got yourself a job. Honey, I sold 10 plants. And he was like, wow, offered me a little partnership. Sure did. So again, but it was not being afraid to ask. It's only a no, and a no may mean not right now. So I've had the business since I was, you know, 5 years old, selling the plants. But it was an education around money. So I'll tell you another quick story. So what happened was, I started making this money, and my mother always made money seem like it grew on trees. Always had plenty. My father was so frugal, girl, he could go in his pocket and literally feel whose face was on what bill. He was so tight. And I didn't want to be that way. And I had found as I grew, you know, taking on my mom's philosophy, spending money like it was water, I got myself into some financial trouble. And one day, I just broke down in tears. And I took out a pen and a piece of paper and I wrote my money a letter. I did. A serious love letter. And I asked her why it was so controlling and manipulating and why did it hurt me and blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you what happened. Talking about a channeling, I turned the page over and money wrote me back.
Wow.
This is why this is happening and this is why this is happening and why are you giving me so much power? Why are you giving me so much control? Why? I have that letter in my journal to this day. And I kid you not, Maureen, I have been financially free ever since because I put money in its place. And women, do not be afraid of it. But like my mother always told me, God blesses a child that has its own. Because folks change their mind. Your spouse dies, get disabled. Your kids still need to go to college. I mean, look at what Maureen sacrificed. She went back to accounting. Goodness of all things, but really to make a way for herself, to make sure that nobody had to struggle, that nobody had to do without. And now she has found herself. Tell us a little bit about your programs and what you are offering to your coaching clients.
I have a variety of things I offer to coaching clients for an introduction, like literally just, you know, the first time you've ever seen me in the world, you're curious, you want to get to know me better, free connect, you know, 30-minute opportunity for you and I to just talk and see if there's a camaraderie here. For people that are willing, ready, and able then to take a next step, there's something called the Breakthrough to Flow session, which is a 60-minute session one-on-one. They come with their challenges. They come with your, if it's you, you come with your challenges, you come with your desires. Then we talk about it. We go deeper and spirit talks through me. And do you leave, you know, open? Do you leave with a feeling of, wow, I break through. I learned something here today. I do one-on-one. Most of my work right now is one-on-one. So I do individual work after we see if we're a good fit. And I'm in the process of building a community that's called the Love Train. It's going to be launching in the fall of 2021. It's going to be ongoing 2022, 23, 24, see what it evolves to. What that is for, it's for you. If you are committed to living a life of peace and joy and prosperity, you're looking for teachings, you're looking for foundation, you're looking for community, you're looking for tools and resources in order to have you be more expanded. And I'm evolving. So I continue to evolve with what wants to be done. And that's where I am now. And I'm also in the process of writing a book, but that's to be determined.
Well, what are you going to put in the pages of your book, Toastmaster?
Oh God, stories about, There's so many stories that are coming out. It's about control, the should machine. That was one of my speeches, is the should machine is how the should machine runs our life. Another one is about, you know, money, power, women in power, how women relate to power. That's where I loved how you said earlier, you had given money your power. A lot of women, well, what is power to us? You know, power isn't really pretty. And a lot of people, you know, power is something they avoid because it doesn't, they're afraid they have to behave a certain way
about it.
The stuff about inner child, you know, our inner child has an impact on our life, and we can have a relationship with our inner child that's flowing, or the inner child can hijack us. So it's also going to be stuff about inner child.
Wow.
Oh God, what are us, you know, there's so many things for me, judgment, control, to, you know, I don't, I'm in the process. Well, there's so many things that are happening. It's like too many things right now to talk about.
But that's beautiful because again, you are a work in progress. You've never tried to be quote unquote the authoritarian, or, you know, you're a subject matter expert, but you are still allowing your space to grow and evolve. And I tell people all the time, it's not over till it's over. You know, that's what I tried to tell the 33-year-old yesterday. You don't know everything, okay? I don't know everything. So be open to learning and to be open to questioning and respect. Respect people where they are. And that's what I learned. I learned to respect where she was and let her go through that. Because, again, you know, I tell my kids all the time, life can show you better than I can tell you.
I want to go back to one thing I missed. The foundation that fundamentally changed my life when somebody, I met somebody who was embodying being an infinite being, having a human experience. So the intention of my book is to help build a bridge from where you are now to being able to be an infinite being living a life in a human body now, and what's involved, what's been involved in me, and how to support others to be on that journey in a more graceful, love and filled and easy way.
And understand that you are not your circumstance. You may be subjected to some things, but your life is not over. There's always an opportunity to change. Every morning you wake up, every minute that you live, there is an opportunity to change. You don't have to wait to the first of the year for your New Year's resolution. You don't have to wait for this great download from God. You have to be willing and open to say, I want to change. I want something different than what is experienced. And if that is a cause to cut off folks, you know, that have been not good to you in your life, if it causes you to go to talk therapy, if it causes you to work with great people like Maureen, if it causes you to go on a sabbatical in the woods for 3 or 4 months to get your head together, whatever it takes, try it, because COVID has been the perfect pause. It's been historic. It has made us all stop and think. What have you learned about yourself during this time, Maureen?
That it was time for me to stop. I wouldn't say stop, slow down, listen to my body more, and to really trust the universe and that I am supported. And to live my teachings at a deeper level. This, you know, it's interesting. COVID was interesting for me. It felt like it was almost backwards. Last year, 2020, I was so busy speaking, building clients, doing group programs. And then 2021 was like, nope, it's time to put you first. It's about your healing. It's about your growing. So with this year's been more about spaciousness and pausing.
It's about expansion. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, you know, because you've been here on the edge. All of her information is going to be on the backside of this interview and down below as we run it below. But Maureen, please tell them how to get in contact with you so that they can have this one-on-one experience and even maybe experience some channeling. Don't be afraid. It's great.
My website is the best place to go. My name is spelled Maureen Xavier, M-A-U-R-I-N-E-X-A-V-E-R. There's a tab for how to connect on there. You'll see ongoing events. You can schedule a connect one-on-one free with me, or do a breakthrough to flow session if you know you're an Insta yes.
Wow. Okay. Brains, we've provided you a doorway. It's up to you if you want to turn the lock and open the door. We can't make you. We can't make you walk through. But let me tell you, there is something to behold on the other side. Thank you so much, Maureen Xavier, for being here on The Edge. Baby, come on back when you get the book and read us an excerpt. And let's talk about it a little bit more. Because you are really a wonderful woman. And thank you for being so heart-centered and opening up. And even, you know, sharing a tear with us. Because that's precious. And I honor that. Thank you, my sister.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye, brains.